There are divine mysteries in the scriptures that God wants us to understand. But he hides it from those who do not want to know the truth. In Matthew 13, verse 10, the disciples came to the Lord and they said, "Why do you speak in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." This is why Yeshua said to that rabbi, that ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus, "You must be born again. Unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God, nor can he enter it." The Spirit of God brings a new birth with new eyes to see, new ears to hear, and a new mind that can understand. Today I wanted to examine the mystery of the Messiah's priesthood. That's one thing that our Jewish people ignore, is the priestly ministry of the Messiah. They talk about his kingship, but they ignore all the scripture that refers to his ministry as a priest who offers a sacrifice for the sins of the world. I want to examine the mystery of his priesthood. In order to understand it better, we need to go back to the Hebrew scriptures. Many mysteries there. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. I'd like to read that to you. "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands.' And Abraham gave him a tithe of all that he had." Yeshua, the Messiah, is the Melchizedek that appeared to Abraham. And I have three points to emphasize. Yeshua is a unique priest. The Messiah came for a unique ministry. Yeshua is a beneficial high priest, and Yeshua is a faithful high priest. First, we want to look at the fact that Yeshua is a unique high priest. It is a unique high priest because it is a priesthood in heaven. Psalm 110 is a messianic prophecy in which David, who was a king but also a prophet, wrote, "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" And David explained the ascension of the Messiah. But then he also quoted God in verse 4 of this psalm. "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Let me give you a background of Genesis 14, verse 18. After Abraham's incredible victory over five kings and their armies, who had captured Lot, his nephew, and his family, and all the possessions of Sodom, he had a victory that was amazing. And then appeared to him a mysterious figure who appeared out of nowhere. The inspired writer of the book of Hebrews points out some important details of Melchizedek in Hebrews 7:3. "Melchizedek appeared without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest continuously." It's an eternal priesthood. Melchizedek is God's eternal high priest. And it did not appear that he had any genealogy, because whenever a person was introduced, was the son of so-and-so or so-and-so. Yeshua came from eternity. Even as Isaiah predicted, by the way, these are messianic prophecies, that a child was to be born, a son was to be given, and his name was to be called Mighty God, El Gabor, the Everlasting Father, Aviad, the Father of Eternity. What an amazing prophecy. Now Yeshua, when he was here, he offended the Orthodox leaders in John 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then they said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Yeshua said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. What an astounding statement to make. Before Abraham was, I am. Remember, Moses at the burning bush said, whom shall I say sent me? He said, tell them, I am, I sent you. Yeshua was claiming a divinity there. And so they took up stones to throw at him. But Yeshua hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and passed by. Now Yeshua is also unique because he is the atoning high priest. Yeshua said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. When did Abraham see his day? He saw it at Melchizedek's first communion service of bread and wine. Thought it was interesting that this person offered to him bread and wine. In verse 18 of our text, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God. What an astounding statement. Abraham was glad to see that God's high priest was to bring atonement through his sacrifice. Now, whenever Yeshua said, I am, was offensive to the Jewish people. But whenever he said, amen, amen, I say unto you, he was indicating that what he said is unique and unchangeable truth. In fact, he's called the Amen, the true one. A Dead Sea Scroll was discovered in Cave 11 that can be dated about the second century prior to the incarnation of Yeshua. And that particular scroll mentioned Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was seen by the writer as a divine being. And the Hebrew title as Elohim was applied to him on that manuscript. The scroll referred to him as the King of Angels. According to this text, Melchizedek proclaimed the Day of Atonement, that he would atone for the sins of the people who would come to him, but he would judge the peoples who refused to come to him. Remember, God said to Israel, if you forsake me, I'll forsake you. That's the principle. So Yeshua astounded these rulers by saying that before Abraham existed, I am. And he saw my day. Now, this was, of course, blasphemy to the Jewish leaders. But he's unique. He is also unique because he's both king and high priest. The Levitical covenant required that only those who descended from the tribe of Levi, of the house of Aaron, could be priests. In 2 Chronicles 26, 16 to 21, there's a story of King Uzziah's pride. He entered the temple to burn incense to God, to do the work of the priest. The high priest and 80 priests went in after him, told him to leave the temple, as God did not allow a king from the tribe of Judah to the work of a priest unless he was a descendant of Aaron. Now the priest, instead of accepting that rebuke, got so angry he was about to hit the high priest. God struck the king with leprosy, which prohibited him from ever going back into the temple the rest of his life. He lived alone as a leper. He died alone as a leper, was buried alone. Melchizedek was of a superior and greater high priest than a Levitical priest, for he's both king and a high priest. The Levitical priesthood was limited, where on the Day of Atonement, the high priest had to first offer a sacrifice for his own sins with blood, but then for the sins of Israel with blood. The amazing thing is that we have been made into priests as believers. There was a day that people were told, you can't pray except through the priest. You can't interpret scripture unless you do it through a priest. But every believer has become a member of this priesthood of Melchizedek. Listen to God's word in Revelation 1:5-6. To Yeshua, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So as priests of God, we're kingly priests. We don't see that fully fulfilled as yet. But you can go directly to God through the Lord, our high priest, at any time. Day or night. 24-hour service. 7 days a week and any time at all. You can come to God. You can pray and be heard by God. So he was a unique high priest, but he was a benevolent high priest. Yeshua is a benevolent priest who blesses us with righteousness. Now these biblical names have significance. He is called Melchizedek, the king of righteousness. Humanity lacks true righteousness. Listen to our Hebrew scripture in Psalm 14, verse 2 and 3. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Now you see, Rabbinic Judaism says man is not born a sinner. He's born with two inclinations. He has an inclination to do good, has an inclination to do evil. If he yields to his inclination to do good, he'll be a good man. But if he yields to his inclination to do evil, he'll be an evil man. But God's word says we are all sinners. We were born as sinners. And that's why we needed the high priest to bring atonement. You know, there are those who are called new atheists who love to criticize religion. And I'm not proclaiming religion, but relationship with God. They like to point to the terrorists and say, look at the terrible things they are doing, ungodly things, that's true, in the name of religion, in the name of Allah. And then he look at the scandals of the Catholic Church. Say, look at those priests who molest children that trust them. And they look at some of the evangelical pastors who have fallen into adultery. And they say, look at that. So if we do away with religion, we'll do away with all this terrible activity. What they don't understand is that atheism is no answer. But they don't admit that, look what atheistic communism has done with the mass slaughter of hundreds of millions of innocent people in Ukraine, in Russia, in China, in Cambodia, in Ukraine. Their history is not any good. Why? It's because it's that man by nature is a sinner and he needs a redeemer. And so the atheist is ignorant of the plan of God's redemption and reconciliation. You know, God could have ended sin with taking the life of Adam and Eve before they had any children. It would have ended human sin. But God had a redemptive plan. God has a redemptive plan to transform us one day perfectly. Listen again to the Hebrew scriptures in Isaiah 45:8. Rain down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. The day will come when he will create new heavens and a new earth, in which will dwell only righteousness. Now Yeshua is the King of righteousness, who blesses us with true righteousness. You see, this Melchizedek was called the King of righteousness. Yeshua is the benevolent high priest, who also blesses us with peace. He is the King of Salem, which means the King of Peace. He's reconciled us with God. In verse 19 of the text, notice what Melchizedek said to Abram. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. He connected Abram with the Most High God, even as our great high priest connects us with God the Father. In John 20, verse 17, the resurrected Yeshua told Mary to go and find his disciples who were in hiding behind locked doors and tell them, say to my brethren, he called them brethren, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. Now, since God is the possessor of the heavens and the earth, we depend on him for life, for righteousness, for peace, forever. When I was 15 years old, I discovered the Lord Jesus. Or I should say, he discovered me. He found me. And I was troubled because I didn't have much potential for the future. I've told you this. I was sick with chronic asthma. I had poor vision. I was not the smartest boy in the class. I flunked out of high school. And I was very discouraged because I thought, why live a life that would not be of any value? And so I said to my Lord in prayer, Lord, you could save yourself from a lot of embarrassment as well as me. Take me home to heaven. And you know, I know God communicates to us with a strong insight. God said, I want to show you what I can do with your life. I've followed him now for many years, and I found him to be true. Now, I understand why people without the Lord is afraid to take a risk. I told you about this man I discovered in Goldsmith department store. I was hired for Christmas to sell men's clothes. And I noticed he was there he had been there for 25 years selling shirts. And he looked at me with suspicion because he thought I was going to take his job. Actually, that few weeks, I actually sold more than anyone in the department store. I don't know how I did that. But anyway, I had a different priority. My priority was to serve the Lord in the ministry. When he discovered that, he became friendly. And one day he showed me some of the sketches, some of the cartoons he had made. And then he confided in me and said, you know, Walt Disney and I were friends. We were both poor kids. And Walt Disney and I, we did a lot of cartooning as fun. And one day he said to me, go with me to Hollywood. I'm going to go to Hollywood. And be my partner, and we'll share everything 50-50. And he said to his wife, he said, Walt has asked me to go with him, and we'll share everything that he makes 50-50. She said, no way. My family lives here. You have a job. You don't make a lot of money, but it's enough to take care of our house and our food for our family. So he refused to go with Walt. Now he learned very quickly after that Walt became a great success and he missed an opportunity. When we talk about our Lord, Jesus, and we encourage people to trust him with their lives. And maybe they're afraid. They may have a risk. What will my family think? What will my community think? Do I really want to make a decision for him? What would that do in my life? Well, it would make you a new creation. The things that you once loved, you begin to hate. The things you once hated, you begin to love. And you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And someone said to me, I'm going to wait to come to the Lord until I can clean up my life. I said, no, you don't understand. You qualify for salvation because you're a sinner. That's the only qualification you have. You're a failure before God. Maybe not before men, but before God. But that's why he came, to offer his sacrifice for the sins of the world. And you don't have to worry about taking a risk with him, because he'll see you through. And I can say that in every circumstance of my life. I've been a believer now, I think, for 72 years. And we've gone through some hard times. And when we went through those hard times, He never failed us. He's a benevolent high priest. Thirdly, Yeshua is a faithful high priest. He faithfully watches over us. When I became a believer, I was very zealous. I wanted to preach on the street corner at the age of 14. And there was an elder that said to me, warned me, he said, look, it's not natural for a young teenager like you to be so religiously inclined. He said, you're going so fast, you're going to meet yourself coming back. And then, you see, he had a son that was not a believer. And he thought that would be more natural as a young teenager. And I was troubled because I had an inferiority complex. And I remember saying to the Lord, well, can I lose my salvation? I knew I was inferior. I thought I was. Reminds me of the psychiatrist who said to a patient, I have some news for you. You don't have an inferiority complex. You are inferior. So anyway, that was my situation. But then I had this insight. Sometimes God speaks to us with an impression. We know it's the voice of God. You know, after being a believer for 72 years, I can say I know his voice. I feel it so definite. And when I followed his instructions, it always worked out well. And I had this imagination. It was not a vision, but I could visualize Jesus on the cross with agony on his face, suffering. I could visualize him saying to me, now that I've got a hold of you, I will never let you go. I said, that's good enough for me. And I've never doubted my salvation since then. Listen to Hebrews 7, verse 24. But Yeshua, because he continues forever, this is an eternal priesthood, has an unchangeable priesthood, doesn't change. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He died for us. He was resurrected for us. He ascended to heaven for us. He is our intercessor. You don't have to worry when you have him in your life. He doesn't save us halfway. I know that I've admitted this many times to you, that I am not a perfect person. And there are times which I regret I didn't have the sense to do what he wanted me to do. But you know, that's all forgiven. He's never failed me. In fact, he knows before we fail. I've told you this scripture before, in the story of Peter in Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to control your life. He wants to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. He knew that he would deny him three times before the rooster crowed. And he prayed for him. He is faithful. Even though Peter denied him three times, God restored him and used him to turn many to righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:13 is an amazing verse. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If he's not faithful to us, he would not be faithful to himself, because he can't lie. He's promised us eternal life. He not only watches over us, but he listens to us. You know, I believe in prayer, because I believe in him. Listen to Hebrews 4, verse 14. Tells us, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, boldly, courageously, without doubt, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. He's always listening to us. He's always listening to us. And I've started many, many, many years ago a prayer journal. Before I had a computer, I had all these loose leaf books filled with information of prayers. And what's really wonderful is I go back on my prayer journal, and I have each prayer labeled as the date that I prayed it, and how God answered that prayer. Let me share another prayer with you. In March of 2005, my son David told us that the Air Force was sending him to Iraq into a war zone to oversee all the weather stations in Iraq. I wrote out a prayer for his safety. Let me share the prayer with you. Father, I praise you for all your blessings on our family throughout the years. Lord, I pray for my son David that he would not be sent to Iraq. But it was his will to go to Iraq, so he did go. But if it is your will that he goes, please send angels to guard him from any physical or psychiatric harm. Lord, please give Lee and me total peace about David's future. Now, while David was there in Iraq, he was going to a distant weather station in a helicopter, and the helicopter behind him was blown out of the sky. And then he stayed in an air-conditioned trailer, and the trailer next to him in the middle of the night was blown up. And then the last day that he was there, he was close to a car bomb that blew up. He fell backward but was not hurt. The Lord answered the prayer. He turned home safe. And I just shared that with David. Today he called to find out how his mother was. And I appreciate your prayers. It's been a hard month for us. And so it's been difficult, but the Lord is undertaking, and we appreciate your prayer. But he wanted to know, and I said, you know, I'm working on this message. I think I spoke on Melchizedek once before, actually, in 2012, and I've done a little work on it to bring it up to date. But I told him that prayer, and he said, Dad, I have a journal, prayer journal. And he said, it's really wonderful. I said, because we pray, we forget we pray. God answers our prayers. This way I can look back. Say, Lord, you answered that prayer. You answered that prayer. You answered that prayer. In fact, I would say, now I don't want you to think I'm anything special. I'm not. But I would say in my prayer journal, I don't pray every prayer, write every prayer out. I'd say 98% of those prayers were answered because I took time with God. I wrote the prayer out, prayed it, left it in the hands of God. You see why I'm so excited about the Christian faith? It's not like God had, it's not like I'm a novice. I've learned that the Lord is our great high priest. And I encourage people to have a prayer journal. Write it down, such and such a day. It will be a blessing. In conclusion, let us demonstrate our loyalty to the true King of Righteousness and the King of Peace, as Abram did. Abram returned victoriously from the battle. Now, there were two kings that approached him, the king of wicked Sodom and the high priestly king Melchizedek. The king of Sodom told Abram to keep all the treasures of Sodom he captured from the five kings. In other words, he was a very materialistic king of Sodom. And he thought, well, that would be what Abram would want. He had victory. But listen to Abram's reply in Genesis 14:22. I've raised my hand to the Lord God Almighty, Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap. I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I've made Abram rich. See, the word Sodom means burning. And in the end, all that we obtain from the king of wickedness will ultimately burn to ashes. But all that we receive from Yeshua, the king of righteousness and peace, will endure forever. When I placed and pledged my loyalty to Jesus years ago, I found him to be faithful. He never fails. Even when he doesn't answer the prayer, God allowed David to go to Iraq. He allowed him to go into a war zone, but he kept him safe. I want to encourage you to take advantage of the fact that you have a great high priest, that you can go to him every day. In fact, where would we be without him? And you can pray, and he understands that burden of your heart. Now, it may be that your trouble is caused by your own foolishness. He will tell you that. He will correct you. I want you to be aware that he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And I remember I told you this, I think, last time I was here, that when I was a young believer, every time I'd open the Bible, it would tell me something wrong with me. And I didn't want to read the Bible. I closed the Bible for a while. But I didn't realize that he doesn't tell us where we're wrong unless he intends to correct it by his righteousness. So trust him, love him, follow him, and write it down. Keep a diary, a prayer diary. Well, we really love you guys, and we appreciate this opportunity. Let's pray. Well, Father, there's so much in your word that's precious. I realize that you are a faithful God. And that's the testimony, Lord, that we give. And we pray that everyone here, and many of them know you, they love you, they long for you. They come here to worship you, to honor you, and to glorify you. And may you enrich their lives. May it never be said that when we face eternity, face our loving Lord, that he'd say, why didn't you bring that to me? Why didn't you tell me about that? Why didn't you share it with me? I would have helped you. And Lord, we want to be able to say, yes, Lord, we thank you that you listen to us and you hear us and you answer our prayers because of your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.